Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, number 1263. An hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. The sole birthday segment on this week's show is for Henri Gendron, but we'll also do some picking and bundling, visit Dearborn Street, and get syncopated. Back on September 13th, 2020, you heard Henri Gendron for the first time on the show playing Aha! At the time, I said I'd have to try to find some more of his records. Well, not only did I find more of his records, but yesterday, September 28th, marked the birth in 1895, or 96, in Meridian, Connecticut, of Henri Armand Gendron. He was the youngest of five siblings born to French Canadians Israel and Cordelia Gendron, who moved to Meridian from Quebec sometime in the 1880s. Henri took up the violin as a child and dropped out of Meridian High School, but later resumed his studies and graduated from Yale University. After graduation, he played for a year at the Hotel Almendares in Havana, Cuba, before leading a band at the Villa Venice outside of Chicago. In 1924, he signed a year-long contract at the Strand Theater in Manhattan, as well as a residency at the Club Richman, owned by Harry Richman. While in New York, he recorded for Broadway, Plaza, and Edison, and was heard three times a week from WHN. In 1926, Gendron returned to Chicago, where he played at the Montmartre Café, and one night was introduced to vaudevillian Sheila Terry. Within 24 hours, the two of them were married, her second marriage. Sheila was known as Dutch Treat, because when a previous relationship with fellow vaudevillian Benny Rubin broke up, Rubin was going to sue her for the money he had spent on her. Sheila, however, cut him short and paid him $1,917, the total amount he calculated he had spent on her. Because of her experience with Rubin, she put her marriage to Gendron on a 50-50 basis, and after a weekend honeymoon in Indianapolis, where she was performing, Henri returned to Chicago and she stayed on, saying, "We will both continue on our careers despite our marriage, and we'll each pay our way as we go along." Gendron played at the Congress Hotel, toured the Midwest, and in 1931 recorded several sides for Columbia with his Ambassador's Band. During World War II, he changed the I in his first name to a Y, becoming Henry. His last appearance was New Year's Eve, 1946, and he died September 17, 1951 in Chicago, still married to Sheila. Here are three from Henri Gendron. Thank you.
to be tender, and I know it. But still, you couldn't help but show it. You gave me everything but love. You'd give me the moon, you'd give me the sun. There wasn't a thing you wouldn't do, dear. But all the while I wanted you, dear. You gave me everything but love. Could have been so happy with just a little look, showing that you needed me. Could have been contented in some forgotten nook. Why couldn't it be? Why weren't you mean? Why weren't you rough? Why didn't you take my heart and rule me? But you were kind and tried to fool me. You gave me everything but love.
Started off around August or September of 1924 with Henri Gendron and his Strand Roof Orchestra on Triangle 11432 with those Panama Mamas Are Ruining Me, composed by Irving Bebo. Triangle Records were produced by the Bridgeport Die and Machine Company of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and were distributed in East Coast and Mid-Atlantic states, although in 1924, they made it as far away as Detroit, Michigan. Bridgeport Die and Machine went bankrupt in 1925. That was followed by another from the Strand Roof Orchestra, Mi Niña, which means My Little One in Spanish, but the label of Edison 51494, as well as the sheet music and all other recordings, the title is spelled phonetically. The tune was written by Herbert Spencer, and again, this was an instrumental, but there are words by Fleeta Jan Brown. That was recorded January 20th, 1925. We finished up our little tribute to Henri Gendron with You Gave Me Everything But Love. Henri Gendron's ambassadors on Columbia 2396-D, made in Chicago on January 19th, 1931. Gus Kahn wrote the music, and this was a vocal recording, but who sang the Grace LaBoy lyrics, we don't know. Grace LaBoy was Mrs. Gus Kahn, having married him in 1916. Fun fact, not only did she write song lyrics, but Grace LaBoy was also a writer for The Ed Sullivan Show in 1948 and The Tonight Show in 1953. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. Bundling is a marketing strategy used by insurance, entertainment, software, and other companies to increase overall revenue and move lower-demand product. As a matter of policy, I don't bundle, but I will make a rare exception for this segment and bundle a trio of vintage songs about bundles. Thank you.
troubles, keepsakes of memory. No one knows what they mean to me. Faded and worn, fingered and torn, just a bundle of old love letters. I kiss each one, and though I'm pretending, it's a beautiful play with an unhappy ending. Weary and blue, I read them through. They're all I have now of you. Teardrops of mine between every line, just a bundle of old love letters.
Oh, flame, I exclaim, nobody bound, my bundle of love.
American violinist Jay Whiddon, leading his British band, the New Midnight Follies Orchestra, at the Metropole Hotel on My Bundle of Love. No, not the Metropole Hotel here in Avalon on Catalina Island, nor the current London Metropole Hotel, but the Metropole Hotel in London opened in 1885. Commandeered by the British government and used as an office building during both World Wars, it was sold in 2007 and is now the very posh Corinthia Hotel. But back to the record, the vocalist on that June 25, 1926 British Columbia recording was Jay Whiddon himself. My Bundle of Love was written by Georgie Price and Abner Silver. I've played it several times by Frank Luther with the Hi-Hatters, but before Jay Whiddon was Louis James, and his rendition of A Bundle of Old Love Letters, written by Arthur Freed and Naceo Herb Brown. Take 3 from December 9, 1929 was issued on Victor 22239. We started off with Arthur Young and his Youngsters and A Bundle of Blues, specifically the Wabash Blues, Just Me Blues, and Farewell Blues. Brunswick A9839 was recorded in London on August 6, 1935, and you may be hearing more from the Youngsters soon, like next week soon. Back on the August 4th show, Blind Boy Fuller had a birthday segment, and I mentioned that after his death, Columbia Records tried to continue cashing in on his popularity by promoting his protege, Walter Brown McGee, better known as Brownie McGee, as Blind Boy Fuller number 2. Well, here's Brownie McGee recording under his own name to start off a segment about picking.
Someone picking my tomato, tamping on my vine. I've got a sick plant resting on my mind. I'm gonna get me a married woman, ain't got no place to stay, to pick me some tomato, to drive my blues away. Someone picking my tomato, tamping on my vine. I've got a special thing resting on my mind.
Thank you.
back on the March 31st show, we had a birthday segment for Roy Harper, and I played a trio of records credited to Roy Harper and Earl Shirky. But I pointed out that Roy Harper was born Roy Harvey. Well, in addition to recording as Roy Harper and other pseudonyms, Roy Harvey made records under his own name, and we just heard one of them, a guitar duet with Leonard Copeland titled Just Pickin'. That was recorded at the famous Johnson City, Tennessee sessions on October 22, 1929, and issued on Columbia 15514-D. Before that was Fred Van Epps with a banjo solo titled Rag Pickings from Victor 16862, recorded January 31, 1911. We started off this picking set with Branny McGee, recording under his own name with Picking My Tomatoes on OK 5785, August 6, 1940. Accompanying McGee were Jordan Webb on harmonica and on washboard, O Red, whose real name was George Washington. My real name is Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Dearborn is a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, and the hometown of Henry Ford, as well as the world headquarters of the Ford Motor Company. But Dearborn is also a street in Chicago. Both are named after General Henry Dearborn, an American Revolutionary War hero, member of Congress, and Thomas Jefferson's Secretary of War. Henry Dearborn also holds the dubious distinction of having conducted the first federal execution when he hanged convicted murderer Thomas Byrd in 1790. I don't know of any vintage songs about the city of Dearborn, but there are enough about Dearborn Street for this segment.
Thank you.
American boogie-woogie pianist, composer, and lyricist James Edward Yancey was born in Chicago on February 20th, anywhere from 1894 to 1903. His father was a vaudeville guitarist and singer with whom Jimmy toured across the U.S. as a tap dancer and singer. Starting around age 15, he taught himself piano, and within a few years was performing at house parties and clubs. He didn't record until 1939, and we just heard his September 6, 1940 recording of his composition, 35th and Dearborn, on Victor 27238. So, what's the significance of 35th and Dearborn? Well, that's where Yancey was living at the time, specifically 3525 South Dearborn. Before that, the one and only title blues pianist Charles Avery made under his own name, Dearborn Street Breakdown, on Paramount 12896, from around August or October 1929. We started with Lewis Russell's Hot Six on Vocalion 1010, with 29th and Dearborn on March 10, 1926. The Syncopated Times is the national newspaper devoted to exploring the worlds of hot jazz, ragtime, and swing. Each monthly issue includes original feature stories, interviews with current artists, and interesting musical history, not to mention reviews of newly released books and music, and comprehensive festival and event listings. I'm proud to be subscriber number one, and am looking forward to receiving the October issue, number 105. When I glanced at the mailing label on last month's issue, I happened to notice that my subscription had lapsed a couple of months ago. Fortunately, publisher Andy Sr. hadn't gotten around to checking on lapses, and I was able to go to the website and renew for the next 2 years before Andy realized my subscription had lapsed. Now, if you like hot jazz, ragtime, and swing, and I know you do because you're listening to this program, I encourage you to go to syncopatedtimes.com and subscribe. It's just $40 for 12 issues, and a 2-year subscription is just $70. That's syncopatedtimes.com. And for this segment, we're going to hear from 3 syncopators not heard on the show before.
Thank you.
Stay Out of the South was composed by Harold Dixon, and you've heard it on the show by Earl Burtnett and his orchestra. But there you have a rather unusual arrangement by Picard's Chinese Syncopators. They were one of a number of Chinese-themed American vaudeville acts of the 1920s. The group was founded in 1923 by James Picard, a Hawaiian, whose father was born in England and consisted of mandolins, guitars, and banjos. Most of the musicians were Filipino, but wore Chinese robes and Mandarin hats. They toured England, where they recorded Stay Out of the South on August 22, 1928, issued on HMV B5528. The Chinese Syncopators are also memorialized on film in a brief appearance in the 1931 short Singapore Sioux, featuring two popular Chinese-American vaudeville acts, Joe Wong and Anna Chang. The film would likely be completely forgotten were it not for the fact that the character of American Sailor No. 1 is the first film appearance of Cary Grant. Not his best work, Grant hated the film, and in later years tried to keep it from being shown at film festivals. Remarkably, Picard's Chinese syncopators were active until 1947. Titina was composed by Leo Denadurf and introduced in the review Puzzles of 1925, starring Elsie Janis. It opened at the Fulton Theater on February 2, 1925, and ran for just 104 performances, but there are a couple dozen recordings of Titina, including by Billy Jones, Franklin Bauer, Billy Murray, and the International Novelty Orchestra, but we heard the Fairfield Syncopators and their recording on the Dandy label, number 5029, released in October of 1924. This was an instrumental, but there are words written by Emile Ron and Bertal Maubon. Dandy is an obscure American record label from 1924 to 1926, manufactured by the Scranton Button Company for an unknown distributor or retailer using Emerson Masters. We started that syncopated set with the Novelty Syncopators and You Gave Me Your Heart, written by Ted Snyder. That's from Melody 78, number 1414-B, from 1923. Melody is another very obscure and short-lived label, manufactured by the Fletcher Record Company for the Melody National Sales Company of Chicago. And don't forget to check out the Syncopated Times newspaper at syncopatedtimes.com.